Thank you for joining us here at the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Jesse Romero will be calling in at 11:30 from New Jersey. Wait to hear what he has to say from New Jersey regarding an event he was at. Also, Michael Voris will be joining me in the third segment, giving an update on the Church Militant news stories. I'll tease you for that. Also, I'm going to be talking about three heroic Catholic priests aboard the Titanic who died saving lives and souls of passengers. It's a great story. Also going to mention Archbishop Cardeleon of San Francisco stating the obvious, that is, a call to deny Holy Communion to pro-abortion Catholic politicians. And then I have something I want to get to, a North Korean refugee. She was able to escape North Korea, and she's in college at an Ivy League education, and she's comparing the education that the young people are getting here in America to what she got in communist North Korea. Wait till you hear that story. I was very impressed with this young lady. But before we get to all of these stories, we always like to get to the readings from the Bible for the daily Mass readings, and I thought we would use the first reading from Corinthians because it is so practical in the sense of the advice it's giving, St. Paul's giving. So this is a reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each must do as already determined, without sadness or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Moreover, God is able to make every grace abundant for you, so that in all things, always having all in all you need, you may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. The one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You are being enriched in every way for all generosity, which through us produces thanksgiving to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I read that last night, preparing for Holy Mass this morning, I thought of the idea that we say, let's have an attitude of gratitude and not have self-pity. Self-pity is one of the biggest problems in the spiritual life. Woe is me. No, count your blessings. And I think that this is the message I think St. Paul's giving us, is we've been blessed with so much. I suggest to you, our listener, what I do every night is I do my examination of conscience before I close my eyes. I count my blessings for the day. I ask God for forgiveness. And I ask that I'll do better. And I say, tell my Lord, Jesus, I'll do better tomorrow. Please help me to do better. But counting my blessings, the roof over my head, food on the table, little things that you can't, sometimes you take for granted, just don't take it for granted. Say out loud, thank you, Jesus, for my wife. Thank you, Jesus, for my children. Thank you, Jesus, for on and on and on. Because this is an attitude of gratitude that needs to be done. Because without that, you're always going to be thinking, woe is me. It's because of A, B, C, and D that I'm so sad. Well, get rid of that attitude that says, you know, everybody's against me. Or woe is me. So there you have it. That's my take from the first reading of Mass. All right, let's bring the smartest guy into the room, which is Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. And again, you know, for those who want to hear more of Sheen, we obviously have the Life is Worth Living that we started back in 1978 with, 79, November. Actually, November of 78, I got the rights to do the records from the Propagation of the Faith, and we have that on a disc, an MP3 disc, along with a beautiful DVD on our Catholic faith. If someone wants that, just make a donation by calling 877-526-2151. You can't get enough of Fulton Sheen. All my priest friends, they love Fulton Sheen. Well, here's what he has to say today about spiritual profit. We were just talking about it with St. Paul. Fulton Sheen says, the greatest spiritual profit comes from loving those who hate us and from giving gifts and dinners to those who cannot give anything in return. For then, recompense will be made in the kingdom of heaven. Wow. That is great advice for all of us, including myself, to be able to help someone who can't help you, whether it's a street person who needs a little food or someone needs a little money to help get their rent or whatever it is, quietly doing it. And I think that's the message there. So thank you, Bishop Fulton J. Sheen. I also wanted to share, before I get into the three heroic priests, a message from Bishop Joseph Strickland. He's on our network on Tuesdays. You can always go to vmpr.org and listen to any of his shows. But he came out with a letter to the flock of Tyler, which I think is to everyone. He says, as your bishop, I want to address the controversy that the church is facing at this time regarding our national leaders who profess the Catholic faith. My main purpose, as always, is to teach, I love it, the Catholic faith clearly and give us all the knowledge we need to address the many controversies that arise. Yep, the truth will set us free. Therefore, rather than address the situation of President Biden or any other leader specifically, my approach is to remind all of us basic Catholic teachings. Thank you, Bishop. Boy, do we need more basic Catholic teachings. He says, our faith clearly teaches that life is sacred from conception to natural death, and that direct abortion is an immoral violation of the sanctity of life. Our faith also teaches that the bread and wine consecrated at Mass truly become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, the God's divine Son. In order to rightly receive the body and blood of Jesus in communion, we all have the serious obligation of ensuring that we are in the state of grace and that we are doing our best to live that truth that God has revealed to us. He says it, as your shepherd, I pray that this controversy will primarily serve to prompt all of us to examine our conscience. Seriously. He says, I'm not the president's bishop, but I'm yours. I grow daily in awareness of my own unworthiness, as we all should. And this allows us to be more deeply in awe of God's love and mercy. Every man and woman of faith has an obligation to repent of sins and live the gospel as fully as possible. What a biblical theme that is. When we are aware of the serious sin in our lives, we must go to confession and seek a true conversion of heart. Then we can approach communion assured that the Lord will strengthen us to go forth on our mission. Let us pray lovingly for all of our leaders, for our deep unity in our own faith with the Lord and his bride, the church. Sincerely yours in Christ, Bishop Joseph Strickland. Now, why do I say that? Because you got Archbishop Cor de Leon coming out saying, you can't give Holy Communion to someone in the state of sin, mortal sin. And I like what Cardinal Arenzi said years ago. This has been going on for decades, this conversation. It shouldn't even be going on. As Bishop Strickland said, just know the faith. You know that even a second grader would know you don't receive Holy Communion when you're in the state of mortal sin. You don't have to ask a cardinal. That's what Cardinal Arenzi told an adult who asked him about that. But unfortunately, we live in times of mass confusion, even in the hierarchy. And that's why I'm hoping and praying today when the bishops are meeting, say a little prayer for them, that they will address this with a clear statement that you cannot receive Holy Communion when you're in objectively in mortal sin. End of story. That's it. Nothing more to say. That's what I think we should be done. Hey, yesterday I forgot to mention, we talked about Our Lady and how she's brought so many souls to church and to Christ and the Catholic faith. I wrote a book called No Mary, No Jesus. Father Carapi's in it. Jesse Romero, Kimberly Hahn, Father Don Calloway says this book very much resonates with my own experience of having come to Jesus through Mary. Without doubt, I would truly not know Jesus Christ if it weren't for Mary. Well, the book's called No Mary, No Jesus, and it's just stories of people falling in love with Jesus Christ through Our Lady. And if you want a copy of it, you can just call 877-526-2151. I'll repeat that and make a donation. Great. And it's yours. 877-526-2151. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about three heroic priests that were aboard the Titanic who died saving the lives and souls of passengers. And the reason I want to bring this up is because good holy priests that we know in our own century have risked a lot to go and anoint people who were dying of COVID. They would hear confessions. They would have mass said. Obviously, this wasn't the Titanic, not nearly as much. But the fact is, people were running scared. And I know many good priests of my friends who have reached out to people. So let's highlight these three heroic priests that died on the Titanic, and we'll describe what they did. And boy, you talk about giving me courage. Wow, that's what I got. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. When we come back, talk about three heroic priests who gave their very lives for the salvation of their flock. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Actually, Jesse will be calling in about 15 minutes from New Jersey. Wait till you hear what he's been up to. You're going to love it. Hey, I just wanted to inspire you with this story because it inspired me. I've said this before. There's three priests that were aboard the Titanic, April 15th, 1912. And they were just heroic. The priest was Father Thomas Bales. He was 42 years from England. Father Joseph Benedict, he was 41, of Bavaria. And Father Jose Maria, 27, of Lithuania. Now, each of these priests died on the ship, and none of their bodies were ever recovered. Now, here's what one of the survivors said that was witnessing what was going on when the action would take place. The ship was going down. She said, when the crash came, we were thrown from our berths. Slightly dressed, we prepared to find out what had happened. We saw before us coming down the passageway with his hands uplifted, Father Bales. He knew him because he had visited us several times on board and celebrated Mass for us that very morning. So they received Jesus in the Eucharist that very morning. Father said, be calm, my good people, he said. And then he went about the steering, giving absolution and blessings. Wow. Picture this, everybody. A few around us became very excited. And then it was that priest again raising his hand, and instantly they were calm once more. The passengers were immediately impressed by the absolute self-control of the priest. Check this out. He began the rosary. And the prayers of all, regardless of creeds, were mingled and all responded. Holy Mary, were loud and strong. Can you imagine that? That's what I call heroic virtue. Now, here's another witness. When all the excitement became fearful, all the Catholics on board desired the assistance of priests with a great fervor. Both priests aroused those condemned to die to say acts of contrition and prepared themselves to meet the face of God. They led the rosary and others answered. The sound of the resuscitation irritated a few passengers, and some ridiculed those who prayed and started a ring dance around them. Can you imagine that? Wow, I'm picturing this. The two priests were engaged continuously giving general absolution to those of who were about to die. Those entering the lifeboats were consoled with moving words. Some women refused to be separated from their husbands, preferring to die with them. Finally, when no more women were near, some men were allowed into the boats. Father was offered a place, which he declined. So this heroic virtue is pretty much why I'm bringing it up, because we're living in times right now where we need the heroic virtue. In one sense, the Titanic, our culture is going down. And we can go down with it, or we can go down by living a holy life. And I prefer to take the other option, to be heroic and live out my faith in the presence of God, sharing the gospel, because we don't know how many more days or years we're going to have on this planet. Because last time I looked, nobody gets out alive. So if you're thinking, hey, I haven't been to confession in 8 months, 15 months, I better get to confession. Yeah, that's a good idea. I want you to know that that is an excellent idea, because you want to be in the state of grace when that time comes. That's really all that matters, because they're not going to look at how many houses you own, how many cars you had, how many times you went on vacation. At your exit interview, there's one thing that's going to be asked. Did you die in the state of grace? That's really the ultimate question. So that's why I bring this question up to you, this story to you, to inspire you to be heroic among the times we're living in. We give so many bad stories that are going on in the culture and in the church. Stay focused on your spirituality. Stay focused on your relationship with Jesus. Be a saint. What else is there? I have one more story before I get Jesse to come on at the next segment. This really touched me. I watched this on YouTube. A North Korean refugee compares communist tyranny to Ivy League education. Now, in the United States, she had everything. People can choose to be brainwashed, and they deny it. That's what this 27-year-old Anemi Park explained. So here's the story. She escaped communist North Korea by crossing over rivers in a big desert. She evaded all the government authorities and the human traffickers. Are you kidding me? That's how bad it was. Yep. She arrived first through China. Then she went to South Korea, and then from South Korea to the United States. She said, what's shocking me is that the North Korea, you know, yeah, they don't have access to the internet. We don't have Shakespeare and the great thinkers. She realized what she was missing. By the time she's 27 years old, she's now a human rights activist, and she grew up during the reign of Kim Jong-un, the second communist supreme leader who controlled North Korea from 1994 to 2011. Now, her parents were relatively well off in the communist country, but because of the food shortages, he got caught smuggling food and he got taken out. Now, in this recent Fox News video, which I would encourage you to watch, she recalls the indoctrination she underwent in North Korea's school system, basically saying bad things about American and about America. Park says she was so brainwashed into thinking that the leaders of the country were starving like she was, she didn't realize the truth until someone showed her a photo of an overweight Kim and that told her the truth. Now, in 2016, she transferred from a school in South Korea to Columbia University in New York. She was so excited to learn and have, you know, she wouldn't have this opportunity in North Korea. But Park was in a rude awakening because she discovered the similarities between her American university and North Korea schools. She said, it felt like a regression in civilization, Park said. During her orientation, she admitted to enjoying the classic books as Jane Austen's novels. Okay, so she, you know, that was beautiful for that. But she immediately was shamed for brainwashing herself with the writings of colonists and bigots. At Columbia Park, she was told that white male supremacists were responsible for all the evils in the world. He was astonished. She said, this is the 21st century, and American college students, with all the information available to them, were so willing to hate their country she had viewed as the protector of freedom. What's shocking to me is that North Korea, we don't have access to internet. We don't have Shakespeare or any of the great thinkers. But in America, you have everything and you deny it. Park described the lamentable state of many college students. The kids don't understand, she said. they still play with this fire. And what is that fire? The ideology of communism and socialism. They are so bitter. They have zero appreciation for what this country did, what the Constitution says, and to protect their individual liberty. They are dying to give all their liberty away. What are we going to do here? Park points out the paradoxical that Columbia University identifies itself as a safe, inclusive school without hate speech, while it censors speech and attempts to control the thinking of its professors and students. She relates how each person in the class would have to give his or her preferred pronoun, and other students would have to remember which pronoun to use. For Park, who's still learning English as her third language, it could be difficult to remember the use they instead of he or she or they. Park admits she never learned how to think critically in North Korea. In America, to the contrary, students are going to college where they end up losing the ability to think critically. I love this woman. Park views the ban on speech and ideas in American universities as similar to the oppression of North Koreans under their government. She is fearful that what has happened in North Korea could happen in America. Wake up, America! This young lady's telling us. In North Korea, the controlling of people's thoughts come from the government. Removing the concepts of love, liberty, human rights, she says, warning Americans that the future of our country is as bleak as North Korea. If we do not rise up now, we are going into a zone where there is no rule of law, morality. Nothing is good or bad anymore. So, she says, it'll be complete chaos, a communist paradise. Now, on her Facebook, Park calls out Americans to be grateful for what they have and what they will, that they'll defend at all costs. Kind of like what St. Paul said in the readings today. No country is perfect, but what we have is close to good enough. The last thing we should be doing is being ungrateful and taking these precious freedoms for granted, and that other people fought with their blood. Thank you, young lady. Thank you. Now is our time to defend this beautiful country of ideas that prompted individual liberty, human dignity, and justice. Yeah, think of another country that says your rights come from God, not from the state or the government. That's America. And that's why this young lady, who is a refugee from North Korea, is telling America to wake up. And I agree with her. And so you might want to check that out. I just want to also mention, go to Church Pop. There's a great story of a son of a cloistered nun. This young lady at age 61, when her husband died, went and joined a Carmelite monastery. She had 10 children, 28 grandchildren, and it tells this incredible story of this nun because she just died. She was 92 years old, and she was in a Carmelite monastery in Illinois. I just found it very, very inspiring that this nun, after being a mother and living an interesting life, she spent the rest of her 30 years praying and with Carmelite spirituality in a convent. Also, just an update. I'm glad to hear that Pope Francis is not going to have Holy Mass with President Biden. It just didn't happen, and I appreciate that because, you know, let's just be honest, it's a sacrilege for Biden to receive Holy Communion promoting abortion the way he does. And I hope and pray today is the day where our bishops are meeting that they will say, look, we're not going to do this. We're not going to give Holy Communion to anyone who's in objective mortal sin. And we're going to confirm what we call the perennial teachings of the church. It seems like really stupid. I think Bishop Strickland said that. Why are we even discussing that? If we can't figure that out by now, I'm worried about our bishop's conference. And I'm worried too. That's why every Thursday we pray here at the chapel. And I want to invite those in Southern California to come to our Holy Mass. We pray for priests, bishops, and the Holy Father every Thursday night here at the Sacred Heart Chapel from 7 to 9. Join us. Hey, today's Wednesday. It's dedicated to St. Joseph, the worker. Yeah, St. Joseph, pray for us in this year, St. Joseph. When I come back, my brother Jesse Romero is going to give us an update out in New Jersey. What's going on with the Catholics out in New Jersey? Jesse will let us know. You won't want to miss it. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I love to say that I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire. I've got my brother, Jess Romero, on the line. He's out in New Jersey. And wait till you see what he's been doing. Jesse, can you hear me, brother?
Yeah, I can hear you. Perfect.
All right, good, Jess. We got a good connection. Tell us what you've been up to, because I was going to tell this story from LifeSite News, but I'd rather have a witness there. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, I flew down here yesterday to Newark, New Jersey, and I met Michael Hitchborn here from the Ponto Institute. LifeSite is down here as well.
Mm-hmm.
Their cameras and their people. Yep. And I'm also here with Father James Altman.
Good.
And what we did is there's a college out here that plays satanic music on a Catholic radio station. So there was a protest from the local people here, the local Catholics, and I was invited to speak along with Father Altman and Michael Hitchborn.
Mm-hmm.
To really call Cardinal Tobin to fidelity to the teachings of the Church, the deposit of faith. The fact is, this college is under his on his diocese, and he can stop this immediately. But he's allowed this to go on for a long time, along with many other things. So the people here, Terry, are just fed up.
Yeah,
and there was a peaceful protest. We prayed the rosary, walking around, kind of like the walls of Jericho and the Book of Joshua.
Good.
We just walked around for 2 hours around the whole. It's one of the most beautiful cathedrals I've ever seen, by the way, here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where McCarrick was at for many years.
Wow.
And so we walked around, prayed the rosary. Then we stopped in front of Cardinal Tobin's residence.
Good.
His office. And he was in there. He was inside. And he kept peeking out with the curtain. And we were out there just basically calling him respectfully to fidelity, the deposit of faith, to be a shepherd.
Good.
To, as the Catechism says in paragraph 907 in Canon 212, we're called to call, we have the obligation and duty to call our sacred pastors to fidelity for the common good.
Mm-hmm.
And and I told him, I said, Cardinal Tobin, I prayed for you for the last 9 days before I flew out here.
Mm-hmm.
I've offered my communions for you, my divine mercies and rosaries for this moment here.
Good.
And I'm calling you as you're a father of the church. You're a shepherd. You're a successor of the apostles. You're a general. You wear a red cap because it means you're willing to die for the church.
Amen.
You have a crozier because it means that you're supposed to guard us and protect us from the wolves. You're not doing that. Please, I'm asking you as a faithful son of the church, I'm calling you to fidelity. Find it within your heart. Dig deep for that the virtue of fortitude. You received that baptism and confirmation, and again in holy orders it was strengthened. So it was peaceful, it was respectful, but he got the point. I mean,
sure.
He was right. We're just a few feet away from him, I mean, from his office.
Yeah.
And he kept opening the curtain and closing it and opening and closing it. there was no ad hominem attacks. Everybody,
good. It was very orderly.
Everybody was spirited. Michael Hitchborn. But we were just, Terry, it was basically, we were a bunch of sons of the church and daughters calling a father who's drunk and probably watching pornography. I'm speaking metaphorically speaking.
Yeah, I understand.
And you walk into a house and you see your earthly father doing that.
Yeah.
You're going to say, Dad, what are you doing? Knock it off, Dad. You're scandalizing us.
Yeah.
That's what we did, Terry. We said, Cardinal Tobin, you're scandalizing all of us. I said, because of media and because of the internet, the whole country, not the whole world, knows what you're doing or what you're not doing, and you're scandalizing us. And you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ like I will, but you're going to have a much, much more higher responsibility than I ever will. So I'm in the airport now.
Well, Jesse, let me just...
Father just boarded his plane, and I'm about to leave in about an hour.
Well, let me jump in and ask you a question about Father Jim Altman. He was there, and we all know who Father James Altman is, and what did he have to say to the Cardinal and to our people that were there? What was his message?
Terry, Father Altman is very spirited. He was on the vortex this morning.
I saw it. I'm telling. Yep.
Yeah, but it was nothing less than that.
Yeah.
And he was a bit more tempered because obviously we had a meeting right before and stuff.
Sure.
And, And, you know, I just said, I told all the guys, mm-hmm. I said, remember, guys, we have no authority over these bishops.
That's
we're
right.
lay people, and you're a priest. And so we have to remember that there's a pecking order.
Yep.
So what we say, it has to be factual.
That's right.
And it has to be respectful. It can't be condescending.
Well said.
So, yeah. So he was, you know, we had a meeting. It was so beautiful. We had mass in his room in the morning right before we went out to the site. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, we had a private mass in the hotel, the Marriott,
right.
where we both stayed. He was right next to me.
Uh-huh.
We did morning prayers, morning rosary. It was beautiful before
right.
we even left.
Yep.
And so, yeah, Terry, you'll be, as soon as I get the link from LifeSite, or Lepanto, I'm going to send it to you.
Good.
So we can play it on, we could play at least Father Altman's portion on the radio station, on our network.
Jesse, before I let you go, since you're at the airport waiting, I had this article. You might not have seen it. Maybe you saw it on Fox, but a North Korean refugee compares communist tyranny to the Ivy League education. This is a girl who's 27 years old. She escaped North Korea, and she is just giving a message to America to say you're going in the same direction that North Korea is going in with the education of our college students. Did you see the article on this, Jess, at all?
Yeah, I saw the article, and I've been saying that for about 10 years.
Yeah, but you know what the difference is, brother?
You
weren't in North Korea, and you weren't under, you know, and in other words, this woman is sounding the alarm. She's saying the same things we were saying, but she's on a big run to wake up America. She said, if we don't wake up, we're going to turn into a communist country ourselves.
What she's basically doing is validating through experience what a lot of us have been saying
That's
for
right.
10 years.
Yep.
And yeah, more and more people coming from communist countries are saying exactly what she's saying. They're saying, America, we left what you guys have started here. You guys are going down the wrong path. People from Venezuela are saying that.
Yep.
People from Cuba. Every communist country, people that have some type of a public forum, they're warning us. This is the same rabbit hole we went down through. You guys are going down through it right now. But the problem is we're the most powerful country in the world. So this will have international ramifications.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Well, Jess, you be safe on your raid back to Arizona. Thanks for the update out there in New Jersey. Thanks for your prayerful example of sharing the gospel, even among our leaders. I got to say one more thing, Jesse. You didn't know this, but Bishop Joseph Tobin, his brother, was Dave Tobin, Father Dave Tobin, a redemptorist priest who I knew 40 years ago. And unfortunately, he was a very progressive priest, giving parish missions and not teaching what the Catholic Church taught. So I'm not surprised, you know, that his brother and him are progressive Catholics. And I say this because I pray for Father Dave, because he's already gone to his eternal reward. I hope he reconciled with the church teachings, because these men that have gone out, if people don't show them the truth, many of them are going to die in their error. And so out of charity, Jess, you drove what? You flew a couple thousand miles to go tell the cardinal that he's in danger of going to hell. I think that's charity, Jess. Am I onto something?
I said, I'm not saying it, Cardinal. John Chrysostom said there's a lot of bishops in hell, and that's why we're here,
mm-hmm.
because that's the last thing that we did. We desire your salvation. We desire you to be a faithful shepherd. And but there are warnings from some of the fathers of the church, and you're going down that path. And so that's exactly why I came down here.
Good job, Jess. All right, brother, I'll let you go. And thanks again for, you know, calling in and giving us an update. We'll be glad to have you back in the saddle tomorrow on the Terry and Jesse Show.
You got it, buddy. God bless.
God bless. That was Jesse Romero out in New Jersey, getting on a plane out of charity. He flew a couple thousand miles to tell Cardinal Tobin that to knock it off. Also, regarding this satanic music played by the Diocesan University radio station, it's been going on for years. And if you want to read about it, it's on LifeSite News. But I just think that these guys are saying, look, we've got to wake these people up, wake our leaders up to say, be a shepherd. Don't be a wolf. So there you have it. Now, when we come back from the break, we're going to have Michael Voris giving us an update on what's happening in the news at Church Militant. And I've got, boy, three big things they're going to be sharing with us that I think I really do want you to listen to. Also, don't forget our friend who's our friend of the show, Archbishop Cordeleone, made his comments just in front of the U.S. Bishops Conference that's happening today. He appeared on Fox News saying that Catholics who deny fundamental human rights are not in good standing with the church, should not be permitted to receive Holy Communion. He's been saying this for weeks, and I just think that, you know, in one sense, 100 years ago, if somebody said that, it wouldn't be the newsworthy. But because of the confusion, this is why it's being newsworthy. Now, the bishops are meeting June 16th to June 18th for their spring General Assembly. Let's offer our prayers for them, and we pray before the Blessed Sacrament tomorrow for priests, bishops, and the Holy Father. We'll be praying for them that they will give us the perennial teachings of the church and not deviate from any of it and not compromise one iota, because we as lay people want the truth, because we know the truth sets us free, not compromise. Compromise is the language of the devil. Hey, check this out. Michael Vorce is going to come on, give us an update on Father Parker, who's a friend of mine, Opus Angelorum priest, who's struggling against his bishop. Wait till you hear this story, and much, much more. He's also going to be talking about a good news story. Lansing bans pro-abortion Catholic politician from receiving Holy Communion. Man, that takes guts, but that's what we're called to be. We're called to be faithful, not politically correct. And also, he's going to talk about a persecuted priest summit that's coming up in America. Wow. More of that will come with Michael Vorce when we come back from the break. Those who were at the men's conference last weekend, you want to hear it on the internet, just go to vmpr.org or call us at 877-526-2151. Also, after this segment, Matt Arnold, I can see him in Studio One. He'll be having his show coming right on after the Terry and Jesse show. Again, I want to thank all of you who support Virgin Most Powerful. You want to become a monthly donor? Go to vmpr.org. For $25 a month, you get hundreds of dollars of programming sent to you with Dr. Scott Hahn, Tim Staples, all Dr. Petrie, so many good people to teach you the faith. We want you to be a high-information Catholic. And we come back, Michael Vorce is going to update us on how we need to be involved in helping the church. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. That's not Jesse Romero. That's our good friend Michael Vorce from Church Militant giving us an update about the news. And Michael, welcome to our show again, brother.
Thanks very much, Terry. Good to see you.
Good to see you. I see that you've got some exciting news. And I want to encourage all of our listeners, not just once, but every day. I tune in to the news at Church Militant, and I get my fix, and I got it. And I know what to be praying for. So can you share with us why people should be tuning in each day to Church Militant News?
Sure. What we've created here behind me is essentially a one-stop shopping that in roughly 30 minutes, you're going to get everything that has happened that faithful Catholics will care about, both in the on the church scene as well as the political slash cultural scene. We do that on purpose because, you know, everybody else in the world's busy with everything. You know, you're in media, we're in media, our heads are in this 24 hours a day. We're talking to dozens and dozens of people every day. So we know everything that's going on, at least a huge portion of everything going on. And we're able to sort of condense it and filter it down and make it available to people. So all they have to do is they're continuing with their other lives of work and whatever their other industries they're in. They can still stay informed just 30 minutes and just say, here, what's going on? Tune into Church Militant Evening News. We have roughly two dozen stories every single evening, Monday through Friday, 6:30 Eastern time. And then, of course, available on replay.
Well, tell us, give me a teaser. What are you going to be doing today that I want to, that's going to grab me? Like, I know you've got Father Parker, a good friend of ours, and the show. What's going on with Father Parker? You got some, an exclusive.
Well, I can tell you that is going to be our lead story this evening, unless in the next few minutes something big giant happens. I don't know what that would be at this point.
Yeah.
But I can tell your viewers that there has been a major standoff at that parish. It happened at 6:30 mass this morning. Mm-hmm. It involves the bishop, civil lawyers, canon lawyers, poor priest, another priest who kind of got just sort of stuck in the middle of all of this. Mm-hmm. And it would be accurate to say things have turned nasty at Father's Parish, Holy Cross, because of the actions of Bishop Malloy. It's Bishop Malloy who's doing all of this, certainly up front, but sources who have seen, shall we just say, multiple emails, and we'll leave it that vague, say that actually the real person sort of the straw stirring the drink on all of this is, I know it's not a great shock, Cardinal Supich.
Wow, I can't wait to hear that story. What else do you have to share with us on that news?
Well, we also have you're sort of in the middle of the Holy Communion wars right now. The bishops' meeting just kicked off today. And it's really very, I mean, it's hard to even get your mind around this, that the U.S. bishops are in their big, giant, spring, summer meeting. Part of it is set aside to have a debate over whether they should have a debate about making a document about condemning sacrilegious Holy Communion.
Amazing.
They're having a debate about whether they should have the debate about making a document. That's what is going on right now. And it's really kind of one of those choose up sides, like put up or shut up moments, really, right, with the number of bishops. We all know the story of the 60 plus bishops who signed that letter saying, we don't want a debate. Let's put it off for a year. Let's put it off for 3 years. Let's forget about it. We don't really believe the faith anyway, so who cares? Some bishops are choosing up sides. We're going to have a report on one bishop. It's a kind of a surprise, I guess to say a mild surprise, who we know. He hasn't issued the document yet, but we have an advanced copy of it given to us by somebody, where they're going to say no Holy Communion for these manifest public sinners, politicians in support of abortion. So that's a good move. But you see the bishops' conference is really splitting over this. There should be no split. It should be obviously unanimous, but of course there is a split.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like Father Altman said, a second grader can figure this one out. Cardinal Renzi said that. So, I mean, it's just, it's tragic because we can't figure it out. I know Bishop Strickland, who's on our show every week, was saying to me just on Tuesday's show that if we can't figure this out, maybe it's time for us to sit down and get somebody else in there.
It's not that difficult, guys.
No. Hey, I heard you got some story about a Lansing ban a pro-abortion Catholic politician. What's going on with that from receiving?
Well, that's the diocese we're talking about.
Okay.
Where things may be. We just want to confirm it before we actually report it. We're close to confirming that, but right now every indication is that is the case.
And Michael, I understand you're going to be talking about a persecuted priest summit. What's going on with that?
We had here yesterday 9 priests from all over the country, multiple archdioceses and dioceses, and we sat them down in front of a camera, in front of cameras. Matter of fact, where I'm standing right now, and interviewed them for a little over an hour, and had a really in-depth, good view. And the reason we did this was so that faithful Catholics, instead of hearing it from you and hearing it from me and stuff like that, it's not like we're lying, but people, other priests and people in the hierarchy and everything get to marginalize us and say we're wackos and this and that. Well, we said, let's bring in all the witnesses to this hierarchical corruption, because they're the people who have suffered at the hands of these men. So let's put them in front of the camera collectively and let them tell you. We probably would not have reached this particular point in the life of the church in the United States had it not been not just for the McCarrick revelations, but what happened in, 3 years ago in the Summer of Shame, but what happened in the wake of those. There was all this scrambling and posturing and, bishops sprawling themselves out in the sanctuary, oh, mea culpa, mea culpa. And after all the camera lights had turned off, they got up and did the exact same thing. As a matter of fact, they started cracking down on whistleblowers all the more after that. So given that point right now, we've reached this sort of this zenith point where there are just hundreds of priests around the country. So we brought in 9 of them and said, please sit down and tell the lay people what's going on. And every one of these priests, because they're faithful priests, they believe, they believe the faith 100%. They've done nothing wrong, any of them. And because of that, they have had the eye of Sauron turned to them in their respect, and they've been iced. The bishops have either put them on ice, they're threatening to put him on ice. I mean, it's kind of the story of what's going on with Father Parker. He's sure. Another one sure. In Rockford, in the Rockford Diocese under Bishop Malloy. Until faithful Catholics who really don't want to pay attention to this because it's a really horrible thing, till they get their mind around that there is massive, massive corruption in the U.S. hierarchy that allows all manner of just evil, you know, financial, sexual, doctrinal, liturgical, all of it. Nobody wants to face this because it's such an ugly thing to have to face. And I think at some point when we in the media just sort of keep repeating this and repeating this, people are just like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 you know, more of the same, your negativism, you never talk about how beautiful the flowers are on the altar. So we said, well, let's put the priests here in front of us and let them tell the people the story. So that's what we've done.
Michael, in addition to that, exposing error with truth, I want people to know that when they subscribe to Church Militant, they have access to outstanding catechetical material. Can you tell us what you have to offer our listeners?
Absolutely. We have a few, a few hundred. We have thousands of hours, some of it in little 5-minute chunks, others in 45-minute chunks, everything in between, of programming that we have done over the last approximately 15 years of touching on everything you could possibly want to know about. It's our usual Church Militant style. It's straight up. It's forward. There's no over-explanation and all this egg-heady, you know, professory theology stuff. We just say, here's what it is on purpose. And we're doing that to sort of fill the vacuum created by the bishops and their staffs and the schools and everything else who simply have not catechized the faithful for, you know, I guess you say pretty much since Vatican II, and even a little bit before Vatican II, the catechism wasn't really, I mean, yeah, it was the Baltimore Catechism, but it was not really, the whole nature of catechesis really wasn't held in the regard it needed to be. It was just this kind of rote thing, which just became somewhat blasé. And then right in the wake of Vatican II, that had sort of tilled the ground enough for Catholics to just, you know, begin to lose it so that, you know, the religious orders broke apart and they all either went gay or lesbian or they left and got married. And they just stopped teaching. The school system fell apart. You stuck lay people in to teach religion classes who knew nothing about religion. And as a result, and this has been going on for, you know, 40, 50 plus years, and as a result, most Catholics don't know the faith. So we said, hey, this is one of the things we need to dedicate our efforts to here. So we have hundreds and hundreds of various episodes, and I'm lost count. It's probably close to 1,000 at this point, and thousands of hours of programming, theological programming. You know, some of it again very simple, some of it very you know, a little bit more complex. Relatively speaking, none of it is complex. We've always sort of geared it so that for the most part, somebody who would be, you know, 10 or 11 years old could catch on to it very easily and get what it is. And the faith is simple. It is simple. You know, you want to sit around and have discussions with theologians. That's one thing. That's a whole different vocabulary. But, you know, the regular people don't need to speak in those terms. They just need to understand, you know, why did God make me? What's my purpose for being here? What's my duty? What's religion? Why is Mass important? What is the Eucharist? I mean, these are not, I mean, they're deep, infinitely deep, topics, but you don't have to be infinitely deep to grasp them, you know, at least on a surface level, so you order your life correctly, live it morally, and get to heaven when you die. This is not a very difficult concept to grasp.
Well said.
Unlike James Martin, who lies through his teeth and tries to lead people to hell.
Yeah, well said. Michael, again, for the news tonight, how do they connect with that tell us real quickly.
We are on live at 6:30 Eastern time, so 3:30 out there, your time, mm-hmm. Terry.
Yep.
We go up on replay about, it's very shortly after yep. that. You know, we record our own thing and then we put it up. That takes Perfect. A little bit of time, but it gets up there. So from 6:30 Eastern on, it stays up pretty much and is available pretty much until the next day's 6:30 show.
Michael Vorse, Church Militant, thanks for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Wednesdays. Can't wait to have the next week come. God love you and keep up the good work, my brother.
God bless. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. Jesse Romero will be back tomorrow from New Jersey. And we're going to have another show here to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Jesse, what state should you be living in, brother? He's on a plane. He'd say, the state of grace. And I'd say, you're right, Jess. And how do we do that? By staying close to the sacraments. Get the confession. Pray your rosary. Make your visits to the Blessed Sacrament. Stay close to Jesus through his mother. May God richly bless you and your family. Up next, Matt Arnold's show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.